1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Biden returning to Camp David, where before Thursday he spent a week in debate preparations. Today, he's huddled with family and close advisors who were being told by a senior administration official are urging him to stay in the presidential race after his disastrous performance in that debate. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's top advisors are planning to overhaul and shorten the Republican Party's platform so that it will be, quote, in line with the former president's vision for America's future, according to a memo obtained by ABC News. Keeping an eye on Hurricane Beryl, the earliest Category 4 ever recorded, ABC meteorologist Dan Amarante.
It is still way too early to determine if there will be any impact to the United States, but anyone along the Gulf Coast is going to have to watch this extremely closely and monitor all the forecasts, especially as we head into next weekend.
Despite U.S. travel warnings, Russian state media reporting that Kanye West is currently in Russia at a Moscow restaurant last night celebrating the birthday of a Russian fashion designer. This is ABC News. A heightened alert at several U.S. military bases in Europe.
Two U.S. officials tell ABC News that troops are now operating under a force protection level known as Charlie. It's the second highest level of security for the military. And according to the Army, that level suggests that some kind of terrorist action or targeting of U.S. personnel or facilities is likely. The development comes as Paris plans to host the 2024 Summer Olympics in late July. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
The death toll in a Russian strike on a southern Ukraine town, Vilnyansk, to yesterday, it now stands at 7, including 3 children. 47 people were also injured in the strike. Polling stations closed in France in the snap legislative elections called by President Macron after his party's dismal showing in EU elections earlier this month. Marine Le Pen's far-right National Party leading with 34% of the vote. An exit poll shows the left-wing alliance, the NFP, at just over 28%. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The news, I'm Terry Bell. Visit any Wisconsin farmers market and chances are you'll find Hmong vendors. Mike Moan reports on efforts to attract new and younger Hmong Americans to agriculture.
Wisconsin has the third largest Hmong population in the U.S., that according to UW data. Only 2% are officially employed in agriculture, but researchers suspect that number is underreported. Yimua Yang of the Groundswell Conservancy senses a changing of the guard with older Hmong producers nearing retirement. Some of their adult children express interest in taking over, but she adds their mindset is different than their parents.
Older Hmong farmers, farming is therapeutic for them. They're making a little bit of money, but also farming and gardening makes them happy. The difference is that these younger farmers, they want farming to be financially sustainable.
Yang says land access is a major challenge for emerging Hmong farmers, and her group is working with partners like the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute to create funding solutions to address this problem. Yang would also like to see policy adjustments dealing with how long a farmer can rent land. And there's a new federal program helping with land access, but Yang says more support is needed. She feels giving younger Hmong farmers peace of mind might inspire them to further explore what they grow and sell.
Unlike Minnesota and the Twin Cities, where there's a big concentration of Hmong consumers, in Wisconsin, the Hmong community is sort of scattered throughout the state.
That means these farmers have to focus more on marketing mainstream fruits and vegetables to non-Hmong customers. But Yang suggests if groups like hers get more bandwidth, the next generation of Hmong producers will be in a better position to grow culturally specific food. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s, highs in the mid-70s on Monday, and a little bit on the breezy side. Some showers Monday night, a low of 60. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Tuesday, with a high near 74. It'll be breezy again. Mostly sunny Wednesday, 83.
It's 73 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and I'll be joined by South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2. First up, we go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete and Conrad discuss National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Awareness Week and joke around about how they would combine the two.
Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here, broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state from our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. Great to have you with me tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. Although it was weird because I, you know, on the Civic Media chat, all I heard about were tornadoes and terrible weather. And we just didn't have any of that up here. What was it like here, Conrad? Green Bay wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a little rainy in the morning. After that, yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah, same. So hopefully, wherever you are in the state, you're safe and you did not sustain too much damage, whether it's just, even if it's not a tornado, wind can do some terrible things. How are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
You know, I had a good weekend. Hung out with a friend that I haven't seen in a little bit in Appleton, so it was okay. Fun.
Nice. Did you hit the bars there or something?
We tried a new place out called Mr. Brew's Tap House in Appleton, and it was really good. Had a lot of beers on tap.
What if you're just making that up?
Why would I make that up?
What if you and this friend of yours have been robbing banks for like 8 years?
Oh, that reminds me. I did watch Imaginary Friend. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, if?
I did watch it, though.
How was it?
For like... I don't know if it's supposed to be a kid's movie or not.
Well, I think it is.
It draws the line because it gets very depressing at some points.
Really?
Yes. That's, and the meaning behind it is, yeah.
I have not seen that yet. I saw Inside Out 2. We'll discuss that in just a minute. But I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you're not robbing banks. That's not, that's good. that's good, you know, need it now money, but it's not sustainable, I don't think, in my... Not my experience, but based on what I've read or watched in TV and film. we have a good show tonight. Rob Thomas is here. And as always, I enjoy talking to Rob about movies and TV and some of the things he's written about on his Substack or at the Capital Times. He reviewed the film Bratz, and I read his review, and I agree with most of it, and I'm anxious to talk to Rob about it. I only watched about the first half, so I'm not totally qualified to agree or disagree with him, but mostly I agree, and I just think, I guess I don't know why it needed to be made, but there were some entertaining parts about it. And we'll talk, it's not just like a nostalgic trip, like some of these, and this is what Rob says in his review, it's not a nostalgic trip down memory lane, or, oh, remember these movies when we were kids, it's kind of a guy settling a beef, which I thought was kind of strange, and maybe not as interesting. Maybe there's, it's okay to take a trip down memory lane and just say, hey, these were the good old days. Unless you have like a really killer point, which I don't know that Andrew McCarthy had, but, and then Roger Rappaport will be here at 8:35. Roger was on the show a few weeks ago talking, about his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. And he is a writer and a filmmaker and a journalist and a very good one. He's a very, very good at all three of those hats that he wears. So Roger is doing a book signing tomorrow on Washington Island at, I have to pull up all this information here because I have it written down. And sure enough, it's at the Fair Isle Books and Gifts. Fair Isle Books and Gifts tomorrow on Washington Island. Roger will be there signing his book about Patty Hearst. And there is a connection to Door County in this book and this crime that happened in California decades ago. So we'll talk to Roger about that at 8:35. Getting back to Rob Thomas, tonight's question is regarding the Brat Pack. And none of them really kind of came out as phenomenal actors. And it depends who you include in the Brat Pack. Is Tom Cruise part of the Brat Pack? If he is, well, then he's your most successful guy. Is Kevin Bacon? Yes and no, people say. I think the jury is out on that. But who is your favorite Brat Packer? Who's your most favorite? And who is your least favorite Brat Packer? That is tonight's question. Let's have some fun with this one. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your least favorite Brat Packer? And who is your most favorite Brat Packer? I think I would say my opinion has changed. But I think my most favorite is Emilio Estevez because he has a famous dad. There's a little nepotism there, but I thought he was a pretty good actor when he was young. And I think he kind of outgrew the whole Brat Pack thing. But I thought it was cool. In watching Bratz, his interview, Andrew McCarthy's interview with Emilio Estevez, I looked at Emilio Estevez and I was like, he doesn't want to be doing this. I think he's being a pal. I think Andrew McCarthy has this unhealthy obsession. He turned into a documentary. Not unhealthy, just kind of like an axe to grind a little bit. And I thought Emilio Estevez just seemed like a good guy. So he has catapulted himself to the top of my Brat Pack list. Or maybe Molly Ringwald, because she didn't want to do it. She's just like, let's let sleeping dogs lie. I don't need to do this. I don't need to go back. Those two might be in a tie for my favorite. My least favorite? Probably Judd Nelson. They say in the Brat Pack documentary that he kind of wanted to establish himself as the Marlon Brando of the group. I don't really see that. I don't even think he's that great of an actor. So he's probably my least favorite. Conrad, what do you know about the Brat Pack?
I know nothing, but I can tell you my favorite, not Brat Packer, but Packer.
Yeah, don't care. I hope you can tell me that. Well, let's do it. Who's your least favorite Packer?
I can't say.
Yeah, you're too. You can't say, or you don't have one because
I don't have one. I just love all the Packers.
Too much of a homer. Oh my gosh. It's Mindy Kaling's birthday today. 45. She turns 45, and she is one of the most underrated Office ensemble members. She's also a writer, and I think eventually became an executive producer of the show. Very talented writer. Very talented actress. I would say pound for pound, and we might have talked about this, Mindy Kaling and maybe the guy who plays Toby, Paul Lieberstein, I think is his name. Their on-screen time, minutes per laugh, those two might be, or Creed. Those three might be my favorite, but Mindy Kaling, hilarious. She is hilarious. On The Office. I haven't seen her in much else, although I think she was in, she was just in a kids movie. I think she was in Inside Out 1, maybe. Anyway, those are my thoughts on Mindy Kaling. You have, we have an interesting day today, too. We always track the national days of the year, folks. We'd like to share them. On this weird equinox, summer solstice, weird moon, sun aligning, it just happens to be National Swim a Lap Day, and National Lightning Safety Awareness Day. That's crazy. The stars have aligned. These two are happening on the same day. And this is so bizarre because, you know, you're not supposed to be in a pool when it's storming out, right? When there's lightning. Conrad didn't know that. He was just being a, he was swimming a lap. He was trying to be a, you know, a good citizen. He saw that it was National Swim a Lap Day and he went out swimming this morning. Luckily, I saw him. Maybe not in time, but I think the damn, we should probably just go to the clip because this is crazy. It's National Swim a Lap Day coinciding with National Lightning Safety Awareness Day, folks. And this is what happened this morning. We got it all on tape. Go ahead.
Conrad, what are you doing in the pool?
It's National Swim a Lap Day.
Yeah, but it's also National Lightning Awareness Day. Get out of there!
Ah! I mean, that it could have been much worse. Conrad?
Oh,
Conrad, you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
You're a little off today. You okay, buddy? Did the lightning get you?
I think it clipped me a little bit.
Just a little bit, though. You're lucky. You're lucky to be alive. Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. you're kind of taking a powder in your mind because of the
yeah,
lightning.
It's foggy.
You just can't do that. Folks, I cannot stress this enough. It is National Swim a Lap Day. For those of you that adhere religiously to the National Days calendar, you got to read. You got to look at both, you know, what's going on. You can't be out swimming during a lightning storm, and Conrad is evidence of that. He'll be okay, though. Glad you're okay, buddy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I want, okay, here's how I want to close the first segment of the show. I saw Inside, all right, I made a vow on this show about a week ago. I said I was going to see both Inside Outs before the end of the week. My goal was before the end of the show week. That didn't happen. But I did see both by the end of the technical week. I don't even know if that's a term. But I saw Inside Out on Friday night. My daughter and I watched it. And then we went to see Inside, because I hadn't seen it. And I wanted to see that one before I saw the second one. We went to see Inside Out 2 last night, and I was blown away. It was outstanding. And I'm going to say it maybe, I don't know where I'd put it right now. I'm still kind of digesting the film. In my top 25 all time. I absolutely loved it. Better than Inside Out 1, which is lovely. But this film was so good. And the same character in the first one is now going through puberty, and all of her emotions, just like in the first one, are characters in her brain. And they're hilarious, but now they throw in puberty and anxiety. It was so funny and so sweet. I might put it above Toy Story. I don't know. Anyway, great film. We'll talk more about it. We'll read some of your texts coming up next. Conrad's going to try to stay indoors, although it looks safe out there. You can never be too careful. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. More next on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. From a teardrop falls. I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for love.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Busted Pencils. Dr. Johnny presents a simple and clear argument for why we should fund public schools.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guests, director, executive director Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona. The number is 855-752-4842. Sherry and Horicon, thank you for saying good evening, Johnny. We always love when Sherry's out there texting in to tell us hello. Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci, so we were talking about the vouchers, and we say, you know, what's happening in your state with vouchers? So what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Wisconsin? What's happening in Ohio? What's happening in Arizona sounds very much like what they've kind of warned us about. So before we get into how vouchers are being used, Beth, I was wondering, though, the question of going, but why did somebody originally say, hey, we should give kids a voucher so they can go to private schools? I mean, what was the original thought there?
It's a complicated answer. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the segregation academies in the 60s that were a result of Brown versus Board, like, you can point to the very, very racist roots of the original voucher system, which was championed then by Milton Friedman, right, who is obviously not a friend to public education and, you know, not a good guy. But then if we look at sort of the modern iteration, there's been a lot of money poured into these fights across the states. And it's always starting with sort of like a sympathetic audience. Like, we want to help low-income students. We want to help children of color. We want to help students with special needs. And it's been proven time and time again that these special interests are really just trying to wedge open the door, right, to sort of condition folks in that state to maybe think that vouchers are a good idea. And they started in Arizona with special education students. But it's, you know, it's taken different pathways in different states. But bottom line, we know that's not the kids that it's benefiting.
No, we put that out there too, because, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, the home of vouchers, we said it was put forth as, yeah, we're going to give kids, poor kids, typically minority poor kids who are in failing public schools, we're going to give them an exit path to a private school or the school of their choice where they can take their tax money that would be going to that local failing public school, and they can kind of put it in their backpack and go find a thriving private school or a home school, but they can get, you know, it's the escape. And as you pointed out, Beth, now 40 years later, we have the research and academic escape. No, it doesn't do that. In fact, looking at Josh Cowan's research out of Michigan State University, the academics actually suffer when kids take vouchers and leave the public schools. So they're not there. But now, Johnny Lupinacci, wondering about you, though, man, you're thinking about this. How we kind of, you know, we're rehashing in one way a story that we've heard lots and lots of times, but the idea that Beth was kind of indicating here, the unaccountable or even the kind of no boundaries. So you as a parent, Johnny, you can now dip into $7,000 and do what you want with it. I was wondering what you were thinking about that.
Well, I think that's a flippant comment on how it works. But that's how sometimes news and radio works, right, Tim? It's not, you know, it's not just you get to do whatever, although it's pretty loose in some places, and it's being tested out. And I'll match that with an equally flippant comment in politics. For a long time, we test the boundaries in Arizona. We do it with radical politics. We do it with radical conservatism. It's saying like, hey, let's see how far we can push it. And Arizona's led us in that. Like, hey, we can push the boundaries this far. We can have a neo-Nazi run for office. They might not win, but we can see how far. And Arizona's unfortunately. But and that's not to speak ill of the great teachers that I work with in Phoenix, that I work with in Tucson. There's amazing people in Arizona. So when we talk about these places, we got to be careful not to be like the big bad Arizonans, right? Because it's not representative of the people of Arizona. And Beth can attest to that. As she said, you know, never underestimate a mom, let alone a bunch of moms, let alone moms that are also experienced educators, right? And so, you know, I think to kind of get back to that, though, Tim, we see these boundaries being tested in places like Arizona, in places like Florida, and now 12 states. Well, in Oklahoma, it's a little different, right? Because it's a tax credit. But there is a problem, and it's an education problem in this country. I don't agree with this particular solution, but something has to happen. Something has to be different about how we support good schools, because no kid should have to go to a bad school. And right now, depending on either how you look, where you live, or how much money your family has, kind of determines what kind of school you can be in this country. And so that just should never be the case. So we back way up and say, hey, if we funded our public schools instead of tried these other things, and I'll get to my punchline. These other things are really not trial and error. They're intentional, and they're about creating a marketplace, more spending. So that $7,000, Tim, you asked me what I would do with, it's economic stimulus in the in the camouflage of, hey, we're going to help families educate their kids. Really, they just want more money going into, they want more basketball hoops sold. Because I think Beth hit the nail on the head. She said, you know, like, these are supposed to be fiscal conservatives. They're not. They want money spent, money spent, money spent, money spent, which is money made for the big box stores and the industries that they're supporting. So rather than support a public municipal system where they say, like, hey, we have parks that we share, we have good PE curriculums, you can play rec basketball. In fact, we even have youth centers and things like that that may be nonprofit or community run. And we fund those through government, municipalities, and tax dollars, right? Well, that sure sounds like a whole lot of Democrat talk, doesn't it, Tim? You know, so that become this whole thing is like, we want free market. Beth, you should have a hoop at your house. Johnny should have a hoop at his house. In fact, if we want our kids to swim, we should be able to buy swimming pools. And the case being made here, though, is that there is an educational component. Because I will tell you, as a STEM teacher, I've bought Lego sets. I think it's a great way to teach kids, right? I've taken kids to amusement parks, specifically as a high school physics teacher. I know, Tim, you know, like, you're in Ohio, man. We went to Cedar Point three times a year, right? So, I mean, but we also learned while having fun together. Those are great things that our public schools can do, and in fact, do better. And yeah, I'm saying it, do better than we can individually. And you know this, Tim, like, I've chosen homeschool in certain contexts. So I will say, like, it does cost more than $7,000. So this is just money camouflaged to spend. Like, this is just like to get industry, to make more money, to get spending. It has nothing to do with improving education. It really doesn't. And like Beth is saying, it's taking money away from things we really do need to invest in as a community.
Well, I think the context in Arizona matters too, where, I mean, I know all of our states are underfunded to a degree, but Arizona being 49th in per student spending in the entire country means, like, there is no fat to trim, right? So every time money leaves via a voucher, like, it is leading to huge school closures, teacher layoffs. And so it's really, as a teacher, like, seeing families taking out collectible Lego sets when we have to beg and scrimp and save and, you know, borrow in order to do just the absolute basics. Like, as a PTO leader for my school this year, we were begging for copy paper and Kleenex.
Yeah. See, it's Beth Lewis. Save Our Schools, Arizona, busted pencils, fully led at education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Hey, give us a call when we get back. Ask some questions here, because you have big exposure in CNN last week about what's happening in Arizona. And a lot of this money, though, going to, and we're going to hit this when we get back, unaccountable religious private schools. And what's the issue there? More busted pencils when we get back.
Busted Pencils is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard.
President Biden returning to Camp David, where before Thursday he spent a week in debate preparations. Today, he's huddled with family and close advisors who were being told by a senior administration official are urging him to stay in the presidential race after his disastrous performance in that debate. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's top advisors are planning to overhaul and shorten the Republican Party's platform so that it will be, quote, in line with the former president's vision for America's future, according to a memo obtained by ABC News. Keeping an eye on Hurricane Beryl, the earliest Category 4 ever recorded, ABC meteorologist Dan Amarante.
It is still way too early to determine if there will be any impact to the United States, but anyone along the Gulf Coast is going to have to watch this extremely closely and monitor all the forecasts, especially as we head into next weekend.
Despite U.S. travel warnings, Russian state media reporting that Kanye West is currently in Russia at a Moscow restaurant last night celebrating the birthday of a Russian fashion designer. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Another series win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 7-1 to win the home series 2-1. Bottom of the fourth, the Brewers able to get past Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks with three consecutive singles. Then it was Bryce Durang at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Tied for the Major League lead in Grand Slams. Durang in the right!
The Brewers have now hit five grand slams in their last eight games. Two from Terang, who spoke after the game.
Yeah, you know, we got to have guys on to hit grand slams, and we're doing that. It happens.
The Cubs only able to generate one run on a solo home run shot and just two hits.
Well, offensively, I think, you know, it's one run, so it's hard to see a scenario where that's going to win us a game. And, you know, no matter who we're facing, we're going to have to be better.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s, highs in the mid-70s on Monday, and a little bit on the breezy side. Some showers Monday night, a low of 60. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Tuesday with a high near 74. It'll be breezy again. Mostly sunny Wednesday, 83.
It's 73 at our studios.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June as Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit, which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. To catch all of these shows live and to interact with hosts, be sure to download the Civic Media app available on the Google Play and Apple App Store. Now, we go to the Earl Ingram Show. Earl is joined by Omar Flores from the Coalition to March on the RNC to discuss the group's efforts to resist the restrictions put on the First Amendment ahead of the event in Milwaukee.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I am so happy to have in studio a young man, Mr. Omar Flores, for the Coalition to March on the Republican National Convention in the city of Milwaukee. Omar, we're talking off the air. You know, I don't think people really understand the fact that you guys aren't going to adhere to the areas that they gave you. And law enforcement is here from all over the nation with arresting powers, right?
Yep.
So they can just, you know, arrest you guys. And some of that is going to happen. So, or do you think it's going to happen? You guys are certainly prepared for it.
Yeah, we're prepared. You know, we like to prepare for the worst situation, right? Even if, like, we don't really feel like it's going to happen, even if it's unlikely, we really just like to be ready. You know, I mean, the folks that we're leading in the march, they're essentially in our care. And so we like to be as safe as absolutely possible. That's why we have hundreds of marshals. We have medics. We have everything lined up. You know, with all of that said, though, I mean, we march through Milwaukee all the time without a permit. Like, a lot of people don't know that. We do it without a permit, and we keep people perfectly safe. The police leave us alone. And because of that, nothing escalates. And so what we're expecting is the same at the RNC. And I think that if we see differently at the RNC, I think that shows that the city is willing to bend for the Republicans, right? Again, like, that sets a terrible precedent. But, yeah, I mean, we're ready to get arrested if we have to. You know, we're going to try and prevent it as much as possible. We're going to do our best to keep people safe. But, I mean, we operated in good faith with the city for 2 years now. And we really tried to do this the right way, the way that they told us to do it, and they still would not allow us a route that is acceptable.
You when you say, meaning negotiating with the city on where you can and cannot be.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, for these 2 years, the city has not even really talked with us. They just said, well, you know, we have to wait. We have to wait for the Secret Service. We have to wait for that. You know, but this route has been known forever, and the Secret Service just went ahead and, you know, put their credential zone behind pretty much most of the march that we had planned out. And, you know, unfortunately, not much we could do about that. But that's also why we filed a lawsuit, is because the city was just refusing to talk with us. The first time that we actually got to sit down and negotiate with the city about anything is when we filed a lawsuit. Like, why should we have to file a lawsuit to actually have our voices heard? If we didn't have the ACLU on retainer, if they weren't doing this pro bono, I mean, we're working folks. I mean, we can't pay for expensive lawyers to do this type of thing. We would have just been out of luck.
So the ACLU's perspective on this is that you guys are right.
Absolutely.
You have a constitutional right to protest.
Yep. Yeah, that's the basis of the lawsuit, is that the city has been effectively restricting our First Amendment rights. And I think we will win on those grounds, especially seeing how the city had shifted. Actually, the Secret Service had shifted their credentialed zone based on Republican complaining. And, you know, so what our lawyers are telling us, you know, if we went into the lawsuit saying that we know better than the Secret Service that they need to change their credentialed zone, we would look crazy. But the Republicans are able to do it, right?
So what they need to understand about your group and about what's going to transpire is, you know, you've got organized people who have done these things before. And so you're not novices at this. You're not going to be people who are going to, you know, be intimidated, nor are you looking to intimidate.
No, the city is painfully aware of us. You know, we've done this plenty of times. Last time the Republican debate was here, the National Republican debate was here in Milwaukee last year in August. We marched on that, and it went without incident.
So for the sake of clarity, I was there. And I was a part of the group that marched, a union. I'm a union guy. And one of the unions asked me if I would be willing to do that. And yes, and we were down by the FISA forum.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah. And so, listen, I keep talking about our, unfortunately, a nation and people of our nation who acquiesce and keep giving up rights because one side demands that we give up the rights that if you're born in this nation, you're born with. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But because the Republicans are saying and putting pressure on our city government capitulates. Is that the way it's supposed to work?
No. And that's why we need to be out there on the streets, you know? And that's why it's so important to be doing what we're doing. That's why organizers exist, you know, because when people aren't given the solution to a problem, they learn to live with it. And, you know, we don't want people to learn living without rights. You know, we want people to fully exercise them.
So let me ask you, so what is it about the Republican Party that you guys feel is a danger to not just the city of Milwaukee, the fact that they're here, but their policies and why you're in the protest mode?
I mean, look at wherever they are. I mean, look at what happens in Florida. Look at what happened on January 6th. Anywhere that these Republicans go, anything that this new radicalized sort of extremist base go, you know, they bring issues. And you know, they're trying to bring those issues to Milwaukee, and we're not going to let them. And so, I mean, I always have a hard time when people ask this, right? Because it's almost like people asking me, like, why are you being human about this, right? Like, why are you willing to take such a strong stance against humanity? You know, it's inhumane what they're doing. It almost feels redundant to go through the list of the things that they've done these past few years, just because, I mean, like, I feel like anybody with a conscience should be able to fully understand exactly why we're fighting against them. I try to keep an open mind, because I know there's a lot of people that are not at that point yet, you know? But I mean, the proof's there. I mean, our country was not improved by Reagan. You know, our country was not improved by Trump, right? The only thing that the country is going to be improved by is exactly by what we're doing, is by taking direct action, right? You had mentioned that the Republicans are putting so much pressure on the city. We have to be greater than that pressure. And I know that we're greater than that pressure, but we just have to be organized to apply it.
All right, let's go. Hey, CJ, you're up.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl. And, you know, I appreciate what this gentleman's trying to do. But, you know, when I've seen what they consider as peaceful protests, I think it speaks something differently. And,
CJ, you mean like January 6th?
You know, those I've told you before, the people that have caused damage should be prosecuted or hurt.
Shouldn't you say that same thing on the other side of the coin? Why do you say that you've seen them and then you lump them all together? But then on the other side of it, you want to talk about a group of people, and you don't see the contradiction in that, CJ?
Well, as I listen to you and him, this guest talk, I never heard so many innuendos with very little facts. There's no facts put out, because the mere fact that we do have two records of what Trump did, we're living your policy.
CJ, man, yeah, thank you very much for the call. CJ is a guy who represents the other side of things, and the Democrats are the worst thing that ever happened. And Joe Biden, these are the worst years in the history of the nation. When Donald Trump was the president, they were the best years in the history of the nation. And it's not that simplistic. But clearly this chasm between Republicans and Democrats are what has brought us to this point, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you guys, many of you are educated. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, how do I say this? You know, a lot of us that are organized to march in the RNC here in 2024 had actually organized to march on the DNC in 2020, right? It's not, I mean, because we're foaming at the mouth like we're rabid and we hate everyone, right? It's because, you know, we understand that no matter who's in office. But like I said before, we have to apply the pressure, you know? You know, there might be some well-intentioned Democrats out there and, you know, they're doing the best that they can or whatever. But like, they're going to do even better if they have people behind them pushing them to do it. And so I think a lot of people like kind of misunderstand like the angle here, you know, I mean, like, if I'm being honest, a lot of young folks, a lot of especially young educated folks, they're not super bought into the whole electoral thing. And it's actually made it kind of difficult organizing around the RNC, right? Because the question is always like, well, are you supporting the Democrats? And it's like, well, not necessarily. We're just saying whoever ends up, you know, we have to be the resistance against it, right? We have to advocate for what it is that we're fighting for. So.
You know, man, our nation was created and continues. It's not a perfect entity, and it's never been, and it's still in, you know, developmental stages, and we can talk about, you know, romanticize about the founding fathers and all of those different things, but our nation is a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And so it needs at times to be prodded, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes it needs to be hit over the head with a hammer, because, you know, it's headed in the wrong direction many times.
Right.
And so we've got to work hard. My audience, again, as I said before, is a generation of baby boomers for the most part, with some Generation Xers mixed in. And so they may not have the patience and understanding of, you know, why you guys are willing to do this. But as you stated before, we did it when we were young. The times required it. If there ever was a time that our nation needed to be forced to look in the mirror, it's now. Your generation is struggling economically.
Oh, I love that you said that it's required, right? You know, a lot of us don't want to be doing this, if I'm being real. I mean, like, I feel like I'm good at it. It feels good to do it, right? But, like, you know, I would much rather be spending time on myself. You know, I'd rather be chilling at home on a couch or something. Like, again, it requires it. I would not be able to live with myself just having these things pass by and not do anything about it. And I wish folks like CJ would understand that, you know, that, I mean, he could check our track record. I mean, we're the folks that organized against the Republican debate. We organized the march in the RNC. You know, we're going to organize against the RNC as they come here. And, you know, everything went without incident, you know. And, you know, we never put ourselves out to be peaceful necessarily. We said that we're going to have a family-friendly march, but you bet they're going to hear us, right? People have a different idea what peaceful looks like. And if people think that it's not so peaceful to be yelling at somebody, then, well, I'm sorry, then I guess we're not peaceful then. We're going to be yelling.
So has the national news media been in touch with you guys?
Oh, yeah. Almost too much. My phone's been blowing up constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, some of them are covering in pretty good faith. I think that some of them are pushing the same narrative that somebody like CJ might be pushing, that it's going to be chaos. And you know, I mean, we've done everything we can to combat that. You know, I genuinely feel that, like, so many people that feel afraid about this march, even people that are progressive, you know, it's feeding into the Republican agenda. They want to convince people that this is going to be pure chaos, that it's going to be, they're trying to get people to not go and march against them is essentially what's happening.
Yeah, well, as I stated before, you know, this isn't the first rodeo. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Mr. Omar Flores. He's with the Coalition to March on the RNC. Now is your time. You say what? On the Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show. The guys discuss a parody of Karma Chameleon called I'm a Milwaukeean, then debunk the myth of a gas stove ban with lots of humor along the way.
From West Alice all the way to Cudahy, don't you know I ride the bus every day? I'm a man with an addiction to beer and bratwurst and sauerkraut.
Stuff, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, I'm in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, nice song. WMDX, Mad Radio, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. Broadcasting live from State Street, the John and Gordy Family Show. I'd like to thank Sam for finding that cut.
Yeah.
I know. It's. I'm glad to see it's on the internet someplace.
I'm a Milwaukeean.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know,
good
stuff. They made stuff like that. It was in answer to something from Chicago.
Oh, sure. Of course. There's a rivalry there.
There was.
Who was the artist that did that? I'm a Milwaukee.
Guy Herman.
Yeah.
Guy Herman. Okay. It was well done, you know. Okay.
Yeah, there was another.
Big thumbs up.
I'm trying to think of the big radio announcer in Chicago that would always take shots at Milwaukee. And it was a very uncomplimentary song that he did put out.
All right, we'll do a little research on that.
We will spitball that for a while.
Workshop it, spitball
we'll workshop.
It, run it around the table. All these things. Run it up the flagpole, see you salutes.
We'll
you know, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't know.
You've got all the language.
I got all
out
the,
there.
The office
You've been
speak.
In management.
I've been in management.
Tell.
Thankfully, I got out of it. So that's good, too.
Really?
Yeah. All those phrases. You know, that's what they say those kind of things when they don't know anything else to say. It's just like a,
that's right.
They got their, you know, phrases in their back pocket. You know,
Gee,
keep the meeting
just,
moving.
Here I have this image of
management.
Smart talk behind closed doors.
Sure.
All right. Well, why don't we get into Media World?
Let's do that.
Let's check that out. The Obros.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day. You ought to know it.
You're all alone in a media world with John and Gordy going round and round.
Yeah, baby.
And we're doing Media World, but we, you know, aren't we going to keep up with the AI making some more music?
Yeah, we probably will. Yeah, okay. Somewhere along the way. It was a disaster the last time around.
That was just yesterday.
I'm feeling bad.
AI was having a bad day.
You know, some of our listeners know. Yeah. And they know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know they
know. You know they.
That I hate Billy Joel more than anything. And we have a text here saying, we need a John and Gordy jingle in the style of Billy Joel. No,
yes.
We don't.
No, I think that's a great idea. Well, let's do it and see how bad it is. Let's do it.
We'll throw it together.
Okay. Oh, I hate Billy Joel so much. All right.
Let's put the phrases in. Style of Billy Joel.
Okay, let's get into a little bit of media world here, all right? All right.
What's going on?
Here's an interesting debate that's going on about gas stoves on the right and left. And we have Scott Klug, who has a podcast.
Right.
He was on the program here talking about those gas stoves, saying, here, you want to ban the gas stoves? And I said, no, we're not banning gas stoves. We just have tighter restrictions on the fumes that gas stoves release into a home.
Okay.
And isn't that a good thing? You don't want to intoxicate everybody in the room.
You don't want to kill everybody. Just come over and have a nice dinner.
Yeah, that's true. That's
people
true.
Start dropping at the dinner table. You know something's wrong. Yeah, you just invite them over for a nice chicken meal, and suddenly Uncle Bob's not looking so good and keels over. You don't want that to happen.
No, we don't want to see that happen.
So there should definitely be some regulation.
Just because you turn the gas stove on.
Yeah. So
you want everybody to die. So let's get to a cut I found in regards to the gas stove controversy. Let's go to that.
All right.
The House this week passed a pair of Republican-backed bills to prevent a nationwide ban on gas stoves. Legislation passed Tuesday would bar the Consumer Product Safety Commission from regulating stoves based on the claim that they are health hazards, while a separate measure passed Wednesday would block an Energy Department rule setting stricter efficiency standards for stovetops and ovens. Although more than two dozen Democrats joined Republicans in voting for the measures, some on the left are calling the bills a political stunt, and the White House has insisted since January that a federal ban on gas stoves is not on the table.
In essence,
the president does not support banning gas stoves, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which is independent, is not banning gas stoves. I just want to be very clear on that.
Let's bring back our panel. Kim, so you've dug into this. They say, no ban here, but what's the reality?
So it's a de facto ban, Paul, just to be clear.
No.
What they're doing is this is the first ever regulation of stovetops, and it would impose an annual limit on the amount of natural gas that could be used in gas stoves. What that means is that all the features that actually make natural gas stoves really attractive to people, big burners, simmer burners, cast iron grates, all of those features would be severely limited if they could be used at all.
They're not limited.
And the manufacturers out there are saying that anywhere about up to 96% of existing models will not pass this current rule, and that they'll have to radically redesign to make things that nobody really wants. So effectively, Paul, it's a ban on any kind of stove you might actually want to buy, and you'll be left with a version that's more like today's dishwashers and washing machines that don't really do the job that they're meant to do.
They don't have water in them, remember
this
that.
This is the rule.
Okay, so right. On this
or,
goes.
Or stop it right there.
Okay.
Stop it right there.
Yeah.
We might get to this next hour.
Okay, well, so where does this debate stand now? I mean, they're not going to ban gas stoves, obviously.
They're restricting the amount of pollution that is released by gas stoves.
That's all they're doing.
It doesn't change the way they cook. It doesn't change the way
the
flame cooks things.
It doesn't change the look of the stove.
How dumb do they think we are?
Well, that's a great question. We'll have to leave it right there. Coming up, a Trump tariff conversation. Felonious Trump. He's in the news.
He is.
Coming back with more.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Johnny's off, so Frank Hermans joins me on the show. Brittany Merlot will have our weather forecast for the week, and we'll get a final report from Peter and Tracy Flukey about their tandem bike trip to New York City.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.